I'd encourage you to have your Bible open in Isaiah 55, and as I said, we're going to concentrate most of our time on verse 2 and use that as our base this evening. And I want to point out three of the words that you see there in the second half of verse 2, because that word ho is basically a way of saying, listen up, people, take note. And I want to speak on three words that Isaiah uses there in the second half of verse 2. Listen, eat, delight. Listen and eat and delight. Listen. And he says, listen carefully. Why must we listen? To what must we listen? We're to listen to the voice of God, because God speaks. God speaks. The thing is, are we listening? I wonder, is there any wife here this evening who has never had to repeat something to their husband because he didn't listen properly the first time? Probably not. Listen. Are you listening well? Because God's chosen method of communication is to speak. Sometimes he speaks verbally and audibly. Well, in times past he did anyway. Think about a few of those in a second. But he also speaks through his written word. If you want to know what God has to say, all you have to do is open your Bible. And God will speak to you through his word. God's chosen method of communication is to speak. But that means that we must be ready to listen. Sometimes God did speak in an audible voice that people could hear. As early as Genesis chapter 3. Adam, where are you? Now that wasn't the first time Adam had heard God's voice. But it was the first time he'd heard God speak like that. But God spoke. God communicated with Adam and Eve in the garden. God spoke to Noah. Genesis 6 verse 13. God spoke to Abram at the beginning of Genesis chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush that wasn't actually burning. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God speaks to the whole nation of Israel. Hear, O Israel, listen. I'm speaking. Often God's prophets in the Old Testament would use this little four-word phrase, thus says the Lord. I'm simply God's spokesman. This is what God is saying. God is speaking to you. And in the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, the writer begins with these words, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God speaks. Are you listening? God continues to speak. He speaks today. And we have it all in his word. We mentioned this morning, I mentioned this morning, the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. And there you find these words. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And Jesus often used that same phrase, didn't he, when he was preaching. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear. How may I know God? How may I know what God is like? How may I know what God requires of me? How may I know any number of other things? We just have to be ready to listen. Because God speaks. If you're ready to listen this evening, God will speak to you again. Through his word. By his Holy Spirit. Some people might sometimes wonder why it is that as Christians we appear to be so dogmatic in our views. They might wonder, why do you Christians seem to be so sure of yourselves in the views that you hold on different things? And why is it that you go on about the Bible so much? A very simple answer. Because God has spoken. And we've listened to what he has to say. And Isaiah says to the people, listen carefully to me. Listen diligently. Pay attention. Because there are things I'm about to say to which you must respond. There are things to be done. Are you listening? Many years ago, I used to work in training some staff. And one of my colleagues, now and again, would use a little illustration with people in the training room situation. He would hand out a sheet with all kinds of questions on. The questions could be anything. Didn't really matter. Normally about 10 questions. And he would say to them, read the whole paper before you begin to answer. And most people will get the sheet of paper and within no time at all have started to answer the questions in order. Question one, they were fairly easy questions that most people will be able to answer. Question one, question two, question three. And they get down to the final question at the bottom of the list and it would say something along these lines. Now that you've read all 10 questions, you don't actually need to answer any of them. Go and take a coffee break. And what you would see happen is that eventually someone would read point 10. And they'd just get up and walk out. And you could see other people kind of look at them. And of course the guy at the front leading the session wouldn't say a thing. And then someone else will get up and walk out. And you can see people, well, it would suddenly dawn on, I've missed something here. And then you'd hear groans as people read point 10. Oh. And they hadn't listened to the simple instruction, read the whole paper before you begin to answer. Because we're generally not good listeners. And Isaiah is desperate that people would do something that they don't normally do. Please, please, he's saying. That's the emphasis, really, of that word, ho. Please, listen. I've got something to say that you desperately need to hear. God has something to say that you need to know. Please, please listen. Listen carefully. Are you a good listener to the word of God? Maybe you will be this evening when normally you're not. There was a great little clip once, quite a few years ago now. Some of you will have seen it. It was on You've Been Framed on the telly. And it's a video, quite a grainy amateur video, of a wedding ceremony taking place. And the bride and groom are halfway through their vows. Of course, that's an important part of the service. And everyone's quiet listening to them. And someone at the back suddenly stands up and goes, yes! And then looks around, very embarrassed, realizing that he is the only one wearing his headphones listening to the football match. He just hasn't been listening. His mind is elsewhere. Isaiah is crying out to people, please, please, listen to this. If you won't listen to anything else, please listen to this. Are you listening? Listen. We need to listen to God because he speaks through his word. Listen carefully to me, he says. Number two, eat. Eat what is good. Listen carefully, eat what is good. The two are linked. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Listen and eat. Listen so that you may eat. Listen because what you're about to hear is the thing that you need to feed on. You need to feed on God's word. We depend entirely upon God for our existence, don't we? There is nourishment that we require for our souls that can only be found in the things that God has to say to us. There's a missing ingredient in our lives outside of the things of God and outside of God's word. Missing ingredients in our lives that can't be found anywhere else in this world. And that's why it says, eat what is good. It doesn't say just eat, it clarifies the statement, it defines it more. Eat what is good. I remember reading several years ago a man who was reviewing a book. The book was an autobiography, and it was about the life of the Premiership footballer Ashley Cole, and he was reviewing the book. And that guy, who I suspect probably wasn't a Christian, necessarily, in his review said this, although Ashley Cole probably doesn't realise it, and almost certainly didn't intend it, it reveals everything that's wrong with the modern professional game. Greed, pride, and envy. And the particular part of the book that made him draw that conclusion was where Ashley Cole, quite openly, and presumably thinking everyone would quite understand this, was actually really very, very angry with the new salary that his football club had just offered him. The poor guy had been managing to scrape by on a mere £25,000 a week. And his club had the audacity to only offer him a new contract of £55,000 a week. Now, the journalist, like me, is probably thinking, well, if I had an employer who was willing to offer to more than double my salary, I would snap his hand off. But not Ashley Cole. He's moaning away that they wouldn't offer him the £60,000 that he'd asked for. You see, is it probably the case that Ashley Cole and the myriads like him have discovered that his wages did not satisfy? That's verse 2 of Isaiah 55. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? And had Ashley Cole, like many, many like him, come to the wrong and almost bizarre conclusion. If I can just have a whole pocket load more of it, then maybe I actually will be satisfied. Maybe if £25,000 a week isn't satisfying, maybe £60,000 a week will be satisfying. Given the salaries that some Premiership footballers command today, presumably they're all caught up in the same trap. Spending money for what is not bread. Wages for what doesn't satisfy. Because countless people have discovered you can have all the money in the world, but everything that the world has to offer in exchange for your money will never satisfy. It really won't. Never. There'll always be something inside you that feels unreached, untouched, and unfulfilled by the things of the world. It just doesn't hit the spot. Listen carefully. Eat what is good. Eat what is good. Eat those things, consume those things, go after those things which will do you good. And here's the remarkable thing, you see. Did you notice the bizarre statements in the opening verse? You who have no money, come and buy. Sorry? Doesn't work like that in the world. If you've got no money, you can't buy anything. Buy without money and without price. Come again? How does this work? Because the thing that you need to eat of, you can't purchase. You can't. But it has already been paid for. And it's offered freely as a gift. The thing that you need for soul satisfaction, the thing that you need to take hold of and eat, is the truth that God presents you in His Word. The truth about Himself. The truth about yourself as a sinner. The truth about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to satisfy all of God's requirements, so that you can be forgiven and go free, and so that you can feed your soul on Him and find your fulfillment in Him and find your satisfaction in Him and find your contentment in Him and find that you are complete in Him. There are many sad stories that hit our newspapers from time to time. The sad results of the lives that people have led as they have tried and tried to satisfy with what is not bread. The countless things that people turn to in the world that is not bread. And they think, maybe just this thing. Maybe just this thing. Maybe just this thing. But it's not bread. Because it can't be bought. But it has already been paid for. And it's offered freely as a gift by God's grace. Eat what is good. And there's a promised outcome. There's a promised outcome. Delight. That's a wonderful word. Delight. Delight for your soul. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. You see, in the world, people are going after things that will never satisfy, and they think that if they can only have more, if they can only have more, eventually, it will be enough. God's word says there is something that is enough. There is something that there is enough of in this world. Tell me what it is. It's God. It's Christ. It's His love, and it's His grace, and it's His forgiveness, and it's His mercy. There is enough of that for everyone. That's the good news of the gospel. There is something we can turn to, and there's enough, and it satisfies, and it quenches. Everyone who thirsts, come to the place that will quench your thirst. Have you ever been parched on a hot day? And what it is to have a drink of cool water and to know that quenching of thirst, what a fantastic thing it would be to do that for your soul. You can, says Isaiah. Listen. Come. Buy. Without money, you don't need it. It's paid for. It's free. Take hold of what is good and feast on it and feed on it, because it's abundant. There is more than enough to satisfy your every need. You'll never thirst again. You'll never go hungry again if you will but listen and eat. How can I know this? How can I have this? Isn't this what men and women are craving? Isn't this what you know you need? Something which satisfies, something which delights, something that will never let you down, something that won't be there one day and not there the next. These people up in Lancashire who for over a week couldn't just go to the tap and turn it on and have a drink of water. And can you imagine the kind of inconvenience that kept causing? Because they're so used to just being able to go and turn the tap on, there's the water, use it for whatever I want. And now all of a sudden I can't do that. What a wonderful thing it is to have something in abundance. You don't have to worry whether it's going to be there tomorrow. Always going to be enough. It's always going to be in supply. It will never let you down. How can I have that for my own soul? That I might know this kind of delight in my soul. I can experience things in the world that for a moment will make me feel happy. But it doesn't delight my soul. How can I know it? How can I obtain it? Verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's another way of talking about what we call repentance. It means acknowledging everything that's wrong with the way I've been living up to now, and turning my back on it all and saying goodbye to it all, and taking hold of this thing that God is telling me all about and saying, yes, that is what I want. That's what I'm going to take hold of now. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let me remind you, our sins aren't just about the deeds that we do with our hands and with our feet and with our mouths. Our sins are all about those thoughts and intents and motives of our hearts. All those envies and jealousies and angers and bitternesses. All those things that happened all those years ago, and we refuse to forget and we refuse to let go, and it eats away and it eats away and it burns us up. Bring all those things too. Bring all those things. Forsake all the thoughts. Turn away from all those as well. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. Why? Number one, He will have mercy. He will have mercy. God will withhold from you that condemnation you deserve when you turn to Him like that. You deserve His wrath. You deserve His anger. You deserve His condemnation. But you'll be met with mercy. Because it's already fallen on Christ, and God can offer mercy and forgiveness. And turn to God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will forgive all your sins. Every last one. All wiped out. All cancelled. Listen, says the Old Testament prophet. This is the gospel in the Old Testament. We had a series on this from Isaiah not long ago. Just listen. Just come. And eat that which is freely given. God is speaking His truth. He calls on us to speak His truth. God still speaks today. We need to keep on listening. Those of us who are Christians. We need to keep on eating that which is good, not junk food, the food that does us good. We need to keep on delighting in everything that we now have, everything that God has now made us to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go out with this message. And what's the message that we go out with? Listen. When we first, many years ago, before my time, got together with a few other churches from around the city, they came up with this slogan: "Listen, Liverpool." Some of you will remember they used to have a board, and it used to say, "Listen, Liverpool, Christ is the answer." Some of you remember that board? It was a white board with blue writing on it, I think. "Listen, Liverpool, listen, pray for the work of Beach Missions, that people will listen. Pray for holiday Bible clubs. The boys and girls and mums and dads will listen. Pray for all the contact that we have with people, that God will give us the boldness and the courage to speak up, and that people will listen. And that people will eat that which is good, that they'll feed on Christ and on His word, because they turn to Him, just as it says in verses 6 and 7, that God will do that in people. Bring about that newness of life. And that they will join us in delighting in the Lord our God, who has saved us and won us for Himself. May that be our prayer for ourselves and for those who need to hear. And may God give them ears to hear.